We are joined by Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, I just want to make sure when you go out today, look up. You never know, there might be a Chinese balloon above your head. And you know, though, you're safe because Biden won't have it shot down if it's over the continental United States. But he's being heralded as a hero for shooting it down after it went the length of this country. And it was shot down over the Atlantic. And by the way, they're also, he praised the pilot. My God, it's a freaking balloon. I mean, right, it wasn't going at Mach 12. This is unbelievable.
Well, also, I read somewhere that this was, it was in international waters or U.S. waters. It was off the coast of Alaska initially.
Could have been shot down then. So
the question is, why, you know, if the issue was this, you know, don't want to shoot it down and have a debris field, why not shoot it down before it ever got to the United States? Why wait till it passes across and gathers up all the intelligence?
In Alaska, there's a lot of vast wasteland up there, so they could have shot it down. And the other thing, typical, and both parties do it, but typical of this administration, immediately after it's shot down and when the heat's coming, well, you know, Trump had three of them float across. Everyone in the Trump administration and also people not in the administration but who were there then and not, you know, Democrats who, they all lie. But anyway, saying that never happened. So, you don't know what, well, I don't believe any of them. But I know what I do believe. I just believe, you know, they're trying to spin it that Biden, and I think they've heard him by saying Biden wanted it shot down last Wednesday over Montana, but the military basically overruled him. Who's running this military? This Milley needs to go because Milley, he ignored Trump when he gave orders, and he's ignoring Biden. This guy is the biggest threat to the United States.
That's exactly right. The president is commander-in-chief. And I don't care whether it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump or someone else. The president makes that call. If Joe Biden said shoot it down, you don't get, well, sir, wait a minute. No, you shoot it down. I mean, this is, but it also takes a strong-willed president. I mean, they, you know, kind of the bureaucratic class pushed back on President Reagan all the time when he would, you know, call the Soviets evil, and he would put it back into his speeches, and he would overrule them. You have to be able to do that, and that's it. Yeah, you shouldn't, just because the military says, oh, it's imprudent. No, if you think it should be done, it should be done. The thing is, Bob, about this whole thing is, if the people in Montana hadn't spotted it, we never would have known about this thing at all.
Absolutely not. And they're making it sound, well, he let us know it was there. No, he didn't. He wasn't going. He didn't know it was there until the people of Montana let it be known. It's just, you know what? That's one thing that bugged me over the weekend. Another thing that bugs me is this Democratic-controlled state that we have. And I'd feel the same way if it was Republicans. These Democrats, everything, they're putting ridiculous stuff up. And one of them last week, they want to give Minnesota care to every illegal immigrant. Now, my problem with that is, yes, they would do that, but they still would continue to tax Social Security benefits, making us continuing as one of the few states in the country that taxes Social Security benefits. Why would they do that? So they can pay for the MnCare for illegal immigrants. They're going too far. And you told me, because you have friends in the legislature, nothing they've done has been opposed. It's unanimity in the House and the state Senate.
They're holding very few hearings. They're just going full speed. They don't care what the electoral consequences are. They're going to get as much of this codified as they can and then force future legislatures to unravel it and then scream bloody murder when they do. We finally have found out, Bob, what one Minnesota means when Tim Walz always talks about that. It is to completely disregard rural, outstate Minnesota, and treat everyone as if they live in Minneapolis, and they're just going to shove this all down their throat, and nobody else's opinion cares. Okay, it matters to them.
But Jeff, these outstate legislators could say, no, we're not going to go along with this, but they are. They're absolutely going along with it. And
they have orders to get as much of this passed as possible. So whenever you hear a Democrat, hear these talking about these outstate DFLers being more moderate, BS. They aren't. They're in lockstep with all the crazies in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
And it's I think it's very much to the detriment of our country, or our country, our state. There's other detriments to our country going on. All right, now,
right.
You are going to go to Collegeville tomorrow, right, for the funeral of Dave Durenberger, former senator, who you knew personally. And he has long ties to St. John's. His dad had been the athletic director there, right?
That's correct. Yeah, no, I worked for the Senate. I met the senator when I was, after he was out of the Senate, he became faculty at St. Thomas for healthcare policy matters. And so I met him. He was the faculty advisor to our College Republican chapter. And that's how I met him. And the first time I met him, it was a fundraiser for a candidate. And it was a friend of his. And he told the group that he was taking on this role. And he said, I won't help the football team. I won't help the basketball team, but I'll help the College Republicans. And he was a loyal Johnny all the way to the end. I read last week that they presented him with the President's Award just days before his passing. And I remember, I think it was the first time the Tommies were in the national championship game for football. I was talking with him. I said, so what are you doing today? He goes, a bunch of us are there's a bunch of Johnnies that work for St. Thomas. We're all getting together and wearing red and cheering for St. Thomas. He never gave up on it. No, he always wore his red. He was always a Johnny.
Well, good for him. I mean, as a father of a Johnny, I certainly have a great respect for that. Now, your Tommies, hockey, they've knocked off a couple of ranked teams, the latest one being Mankato. They beat them, I think, Friday night, lost this next game. But they're starting to beat some pretty powerful D1 teams.
They're starting to be competitive. The second game they lost 5-2. They actually scored first in the second game. They just couldn't pull it off. But they beat Bowling Green when they were ahead of, at the top of the conference. They've now beat Mankato in the top of the conference. Mankato was number 13 ranked. They've beat Michigan Tech when they were number 13 ranked. So they're starting to show some signs of improvement. You know, the first year was really brutal because they play a lot of, their conference is no slouch. You've got Mankato, you've got Bowling Green, you've got Lake Superior State. They have to play also. They play Bemidji State, is also in the conference. And they do exhibition games against St. Cloud State. So the first year was tough. But, like I said, the goal is you get, as I said before, I like all the Minnesota College hockey teams. And my dream would be to get a Frozen Four, which is all Minnesota. And the sooner the Tommies become competitive and can start getting, can move towards getting considered for those playoff berths, the sooner you get a chance of getting six Minnesota teams in the playoffs. And at that point, the law of averages, if we get all Frozen Four slots, there's no way that a Minnesota team's not going to win another national.
At some point, who are the teams that were behind ousting St. Thomas? They're going to go after St. John's because they're winning too much. And then you'll have another Johnny's hockey team at D1 going after it.
I don't know. I was told by some folks there, our mutual friend Boz Bostrom, that St. John's isn't as tied to the hockey program like St. Thomas is. So the more likely, if the Johnnies get booted, the more likely spot would be Division II, because they'll remember St. Cloud State got rid of football. So there's a spot just waiting to happen for the Johnnies to take over and move into that class for football. So I don't know if they'd make the jump all the way up, but I still am not convinced that the other schools aren't going to kick them out just because they win too much.
Yeah, because they're too good. The programs are too good there. So we'll see how that all plays out. Now I want to go back to our state of Minnesota and the governor. You were telling me, tell me more about this flag that they want to redo the Minnesota flag. Nothing is good enough for these people.
It was a story yesterday in the Star Tribune that they're looking at replacing Minnesota's quote-unquote outdated flag, which of course, has a farmer and a Native American and, the state motto, the Star of the North, the Trois du Nord, and that they're saying it's not inclusive enough.
So my
suggestion is, in keeping with the current spirit, I think we should do a buffalo plaid background with a hammer and sickle and one Minnesota.
I love it. All right, Jeff. Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much. Take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.